Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. I want to speak to you on the subject of transformation. Last week I was studying what David had prayed to the Lord when he said, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And I thought about that. And I said, "Lord, that is exactly what I would like. Is to have the nature that is within me only choose the good, not the evil. That I would always desire the right and not the wrong." And I asked God to change that in me. And I began to think about that as I traveled around and did the things that I had to do. And the Lord, little by little, gave me this message. You see, God has already done that for us. And He has available to us the transformation into the image of His Son. But we have to participate in it. God doesn't just take us and force us to be robots doing what He wants us to do. He gives us the opportunity to participate in the choices that we make. And I want you to know there is grace sufficient for every need. He has promised there will never be a temptation that takes you that is not common unto man. And He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And God will allow us to live completely in the center of His will, if we choose to do that. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. We're going to read Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. And Lord, I pray that we might grasp this truth and that we might go through this transformation and that we might live totally and completely controlled by your Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us as we study your word. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The will of God has been made clear in the Bible that His will is exactly what I was praying for. And if my will agrees with His will, then we have the petitions that we ask. You see, it is God's will that you be set apart unto Him completely, that I be set apart to Him completely. It is God's will that we never ever sin again. That's God's will for us. And, you know, we can get caught up in all kinds of things experientially. We say, "Well, that's not been my experience. I fall into sin," and on and on and on we go. But what we need to do is stay with the Word of God. And He says that it's His will for us to be set apart totally and completely for Him. Look at verse 2 of our text here. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And look at this. "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we are transformed into His image, if we live for Jesus day in and day out, 24/7, then we prove what the will of God is. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. When we pray, God has told us that when we pray, look at Matthew 6, 9 and 10. He says, "When we pray, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." God has commanded us when we pray, to pray in His will. It is God's will that is the important thing in this life. It is not my will that's important. It's God's will. It's not your will that's important. It's God's will. And God tells us that we're to seek His kingdom. Now, the promise that He gives us, listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now you see that God's promise to us is that His will is our sanctification. God wills for you to be sanctified. Let that sink in. You don't have to beg God to sanctify you. You just have to participate. We're going to see about that in a little bit. But it is a wonderful thing that God has provided sanctification for us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification. The will of God is there. He has promised it. He has promoted it. And He has commanded it. And so we have an opportunity to be completely set apart for God. Now you say, well, it doesn't seem to play out for me. Well, we're going to see in a minute why that happens and how we can enter into this and we can present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But first off, I want you to see that God is the initiator of sanctification, not us. God puts the desire in our heart to be sanctified because He plans to do that for us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God gave us a package deal. When you received Jesus as your Savior, you not only got eternal life, you also got sanctification. We have to enter into that sanctification. And it is a wonderful thing that God, through His will, has made provision for us to be sanctified. When it comes to our personal provision, He tells us here in Matthew 6:31-33, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God has a plan for us. It is not to see how many toys we can collect before we die. It is to seek the kingdom of God with all of our heart. It is to completely give ourselves over to this thing of sanctification and to serve God in every waking minute. Now the problem is there's a warfare going on. Have you noticed that? The devil hates the Lord, and he hates anybody who loves the Lord. If you love the Lord, you are the enemy of the devil. And so the devil is going to always be warring against us, but God has overcome the devil. And we don't have to be afraid of that. As a matter of fact, we're commanded not to be afraid of the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at verse 2 again. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that there is a choice to be made here. We can either be conformed to the world or we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You're going to do one or the other in every choice you come upon. you're either going to be led by the devil or you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. You say, wait a minute, I make my own mind up. No, you don't. You're either led by the devil or you're led by the Holy Spirit. Because there's a war going on. And that war is way above us. It's not way down here. It's above us. And all that is done by the devil to us, he cannot force you to sin. And Jesus will not force you not to sin. It is a choice. And he, the devil, entices us and tries to draw us into his side. Come and fight on my side. And the Lord's saying, no, you are on my side. And we have to make a decision. And as we make those decisions, we find out that we can win that war if we choose. But so many times we just go like a goose into the world and whatever seems right to us is what we do. And that is a big problem. Because our heart is sinful. Our flesh is sinful. And so we have to be very careful about that. First thing I want you to see is the foe. Who is it that we're fighting against? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12 says this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't forget that. You can't be strong in your flesh. You have to be strong in the power of the Lord's might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's your enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's your foe. Now, the war's going on all the time. But you know what the Bible says? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now let me tell you, and we'll look at this a little bit more in the next point, but I want you to know that the key there is every thought. Where we mess up so many times is we want the Lord to control some of our thoughts, but we want freedom to think our thoughts that we want to think without interference. That messes us up. You see, every thought has to be brought into the obedience of Christ. That it may be our imagination. You know, sometimes when we don't like things the way they are, then we imagine them the way that we would like them to be, and we live in this imaginary world where we're God and we can do whatever we want to do. And that's something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to let God pull that down too. Everything, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that you think belongs to God. And whenever we bring every thought into captivity by our choices and by the grace of God, then we become a vessel fitted for the Master's use. There's no place for fear in the Christian life. Let me say that again. There is no place for fear in the Christian life. If you are afraid, the devil is pulling the strings. You see, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Whenever we realize that, then we can stand strong in the Lord. Fear is not for us. Listen to what he says here in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the difference is in the way we look at things. If you look at God through your problems, the problems are bigger than God. But if you look at your problems through God, then your problems are nothing. In the Old Testament, Jesus told the Israelites, if you obey me, one of you will chase 100. And you'll not be afraid. And nobody can stand in front of you. And everybody that gets in front of you, I'm going to mow them down. But he said, if you live in disobedience, you'll run from your enemy. And one of them will chase 100 of you. And you'll be afraid. Whole lot of fear in America today. Fear is a tool of the devil. And we are not to be afraid because Jesus is our God. The Lord said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." We have that promise, and there's nothing to be afraid of. You say, "Oh, you just don't know." Listen, Jesus said, "Don't fear man who can only destroy your body, but after that has no power over your soul. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell." You say, "Wait a minute. Being destroyed is pretty bad." It's not really. Because on the other side of death, there's heaven. So why would God say that? "I would rather live a day without fear than 100 years in fear." You see, God wants us to be free. And in order for us to be free from fear, we have to be willing to accept whatever God's will is. If it's God's will for us to die, then go to heaven. Don't live dreading death. Don't live dreading anything. Live in all kinds of courage because God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise. Therefore, we can live without fear. And folks, that's half the battle. The opposite of fear is faith. And whenever you have fear, fear has torment. Amen? Nothing like fear to bring torment. And half the battle is being courageous rather than fearful. If we can learn to be courageous by the grace of God and the promises of God, then the battle is half won. Now let's look at the fight itself. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12 says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Notice the first part of verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. You see that? Not the good fight of fear, but the good fight of faith. The only way we have a fighting in this world is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no strength to add to the fight, only our faith in Jesus and the promises that he has made to us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that we don't have to be afraid. We can live for him. Listen, one of these days we're going to die. And when we do, we still have Jesus to carry us over to the other side. There's nothing to fear, not even death. Because once we die, we live. You see, we have eternal life. I already have my eternal life. You already have your eternal life if you've received Christ as your Savior. You're not waiting to get it. You already got it. I'm not ever going to die. My body's going to die, but my spirit's going to live forever. Because of that, there's nothing to fear. And folks, God has told us that we don't have to fear anything down here. But notice he says here that we run into all kinds of problems when we start wanting to be rich. You know why? It's because we start trusting in our riches rather than in God. You see, God is the provider of every good and precious gift, every one. And whenever he blesses us, we tend to put our trust over into the blessing rather than the blesser. And when that happens, we mess up. We pierce ourselves through with many sorrows and a snare. And then we begin to think, well, I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, or it'll cost me. I've got to do this, or it'll cost me. When we begin to think like that, fear rules in our life. Anxiety rules in our life. God says, no, can't do that. I want you to trust me with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding. Now, I've said all that to say this. What is the way to enter into this transformation? How do we do it? Well, you know, you can spend a lifetime trying, and it'll never happen until you start trusting. Now, listen to what he says here. Let's read 1 and 2 of our text again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, let's stop there. He says, by the mercies of God. God is merciful. God loves us. You are safe to present your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. God will not hurt you. God is going to uphold you. He is going to strengthen you. You can trust God. That's what he's saying. By the mercies of God, knowing that God is merciful, trust the Lord with your body. Give it to him. Your life is in God's hands. Now he goes on to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, now look at this, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The mind is where the battle's at. God says that we have to have our mind renewed, and then the rest of it will take care of itself. Remember what he told the Pharisees? He said, make first the outside, the inside clean, and the outside will take care of itself. He said, you're going at it all wrong. You clean the outside up and make it look good. You look like a whited sepulcher, but on the inside is full of extortion and excess. And so we need to turn that around, and first the mind has to be given over to God, and then the rest of it will follow suit. So let's look at how we do that. Let's look at the mind. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline that word let. There's a choice. You see, every time we face a decision, every time we face a reaction, every time something comes along to make us angry or to make us this or make us that, we face a decision. We've either got to let the mind of the devil get a hold of us, or we let the mind of Christ be in us. It's our choice. Many times we make the wrong choice, amen? The devil comes upon us, and somebody does us wrong, and we say, all right, I'm going to give them what's for. You just chose to follow the devil. But if you have that same choice, if you say, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to let this mind of Christ be in me, and I'm going to let him react in me, then we have victory. Let's read on here. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. All right, there's step number one. If I'm going to let the mind of Christ rule in my life when situations come up that normally I would turn to the devil for instruction, I have got to get rid of my reputation. You see, so many times we want to strike back because our reputation is being injured. We are not being respected. We're not being looked up to. You see, all those things have to be surrendered if I'm going to let the mind of Christ reign in me. I cannot demand respect. If I get respect, it's a gift from God. I don't deserve respect. You don't deserve respect. We may think we do, but we don't. God gives us gifts of respect. But we got to lay it down just like he did. We have to humble ourselves. Now look what else he says. And being found as fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, if I want the mind of Christ, I have to surrender some things. People are going to take advantage of me. People are going to take advantage of you. They took advantage of Jesus. They mistreated Jesus. They spoke evil of Jesus. And I guarantee you there's a whole lot more about me that you can speak evil of than you ever could Jesus. If you found something to speak evil of Jesus, you know they're going to find something about you to speak evil about. And they will wear you out. So you got to give all that up. You say, why would I want to do that? Because you want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that has to happen one decision at a time. Whenever we fly off the handle, I want you to know that is not because you can't control yourself. It's because you have given yourself over to the control of the devil. The Bible says, what, know you not that to whomsoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? If we give ourselves over to the devil, he will help us be evil. He's good at what he does. I mean, he can give you so much evil to do, make some of the worst people in the world proud of you. Then you, when it's all over with, you wonder, how in the world could I have done that being a Christian? How could I? Because you had a good coach. See, the devil, he's evil to the core. He can wear you out if you let him. And if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you're going to have to humble yourself. Take whatever comes, just like he did. The Bible says, as a lamb before its shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He just took it. He didn't deserve that. But he took it. You see, he was filled with the Spirit completely. We have the same Spirit. And he will live his life through us if we choose it. But you see, we're going to have to get off our high horse. The whole reputation thing, and I'm going to be respected or I'm going to straighten somebody out. We have to give all that up. If you want to be filled with the Spirit 24/7, then you're going to have to let this mind be in you rather than the mind of the devil. We have no right, folks. The Bible says when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. That's the standard. You see, that's where the choice comes in. I ain't putting up with you. I'm going to have my way. That's the devil talking. Jesus says, whatever they did to him, he just took it. He humbled himself and came obedient unto death. Now, the reason he puts that in there is because there's no limit to humility. People are cruel because they have good coaches in the devil. People will hurt you. We have to accept that, because otherwise we can't be transformed. If you're going to be like Jesus, you've got to be like Jesus. If you're going to be transformed into the image of Jesus, you're going to have to allow things in your life that Jesus allowed in his life. And sometimes that's tough, but the grace of God will allow you to do that. And that's the only way. Now here's the message. John 14, 1 through 6 says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's so important. So many Christians live with a troubled heart all the time. Worried about this, anxious about that, scared this might happen. On and on and on. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. There's that same word, let. You see that? There's a choice. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I want you to understand something. Jesus gives us this when he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Eternity is coming. Folks, 50 years from now, none of us will probably be here. Some of these kids may. Most of us will be in heaven. Now, we can struggle, and we can fear, and we can try everything in the world. Or we can just trust God. God says eternity is coming. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Don't worry about this down here. This is just boot camp. This is training. Just trust me. And so, whenever he says that, he says, now, you know the way. You know how to get there. Now, he's talking about getting to heaven, but notice he's talking to Christian people here. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, you know the way. Well, what is the way? Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I want you to know, not only does that apply to heaven, that applies to us in everyday life, every decision we make. Jesus is our life. The only hope we have is Jesus. And we must submit to him and his mind and his philosophy and what he says rather than what the devil says. The devil has never done you any good. Why do we always turn to him in our reactions? Why do we want advice from the devil in how to react when people do us wrong? Why don't we go to Christ? I'll tell you why. Because our old sinful nature agrees more with the devil than it does with Christ. And he wants us to learn to let the mind of Christ be in us. We have been given the mind of Christ. It's here already. You know, every time something happens and the reaction comes, there's two voices. One says, get even. The other says, humble yourself. And you got to choose. Which one are you going to choose? It feels better to get even for a little bit. But in the long run, it's a whole lot better. Let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly and let him dictate whatever he wants to do and then obey. You see, the aftermath of the devil controlling your thoughts is a horrible thing. The aftermath of Jesus controlling your thoughts is righteousness. Why would we ever choose anything else? You say, well, how do I know how I'm doing? Here's the measure. 2 Timothy 2:19-22 says this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. How you doing? When you came to Jesus, just like me, you brought baggage from the old life. Things that you had allowed in your life that you should not have allowed in your life, just like me. And the Lord says, you're free from all that. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, he was talking about sin there. He said, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And when the Son shall set you free, you're free indeed. And so we've all been set free from all that baggage. Now, the devil will tell you that that's not true. No, I got you. You've done it one time, I've got you. But the Lord says, no, you're free. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, that being the case, our job is one by one to make the right choices and to choose to let the mind of Christ fill us. And let the mind of Christ control us so that those things that used to appeal to us, we choose against them. Why? Because we belong to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a refund. I'm real glad that I belong to Jesus. And I want everything Jesus has for me. I want it all. And I want to make every choice, not based on how it feels to me, but what the Holy Spirit leads me to do. And not what the devil is whispering in my ear. Here's something good you can do. Well, you can smack them. You can do this. You can do that. The devil's always got a whole lot of suggestions. But we need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to obey the Lord and let the mind of Christ fill me with his righteousness. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. You're standing on the edge of eternity right now. You don't know what one more breath is going to bring. You're not promised another breath, another heartbeat. And one day you're going to stand before your Creator. And the question is going to be, what did you do with Jesus? Oh, well, I was too proud to humble myself. I was this or I was that. And he's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. You don't want to hear that, because hell's forever. When you go to hell, you never get out. I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You're just getting started. Jesus has made a way. He said hell was not made for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels. But if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, there's no other place for you to spend eternity, and you've got to live somewhere forever. And hell is the only other option. Now, Jesus has made a way. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He paid the whole debt in full. And he says, if you will put your trust in what I did on the cross, I'll save you by my grace. That's it. You say, Brother Allen, I don't think I deserve that. Well, you're exactly right. You don't. But the good news is you don't have to. You say, I don't think I can live up to it. You're right, you can't. But the good news is you don't have to. Jesus paid it all. But if you don't humble yourself and receive Christ as your Savior before you leave this world, you're going to go to hell. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody. So if you're here this morning, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. As soon as the music begins in our invitation, you make your way down to the front and you say, I want to be saved. I'll take it from there. Don't let this opportunity pass you by, because you may never have another opportunity. And if you do, it'll never be as strong as it is right now. Let Jesus have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne to thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that everything that you have is extended to us by faith. Lord, I pray that in my own life, I would never, ever give way to the devil, but always let the mind of Christ reign in me. Lord, I know this message was for me, and I pray that it might help somebody else. And Lord, I pray if there's one that's lost this morning, or several that's lost this morning, that you would save them by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.